All right. Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm your host, as always, Timmy B. And today, my guest co-host, for as long as he can stay, is Trap Daddy Gambino. Look at the guns. Before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on whatever platform you're seeing me right now. And leave a five-star rating, comments, positive reviews, all that stuff. Trap knows what to do. On today's episode, we are talking to a celebrity boxer who's going to be fighting on October 15th in their debut fight. We're going to talk about a possible Royal Rumble in the UFC, Tony's future, and a whole lot more. Trap, let's hit it. Yeah, it's Timmy B, Prince D, Fight Insight. Yeah, that's right. All right, our guest today is a recording artist, a producer, a former high school teacher, almost has their mental health counseling training certificate, and was recently featured on TMZ for their call out to fight Caitlyn Jenner, of all people, on October 15th. As I said, they are set to make their debut appearance with celebrity boxing, but first, they are here to chat with us, talk it up. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Brady Bunch.
Ta-da! Welcome. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Trap Daddy. I'm a fan, right? Thank you, Timmy. And thank you, everybody. It's an honor to be here. I hope my messy room does not scare anybody off. But
Oh, look what I'm working with today. It's okay.
Yeah, no, we're good. Thank you so much
for joining us. That's the podcast life.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah, thank you so much, Brady Bunch. Actually, Trap is such a great guy. He just came out of nowhere to help save the day on this podcast so that I could have a co-host. Brady Bunch was supposed to be my guest co-host for the day, and we were having a different guest show up. But as always, schedules are getting confused. So here we are, and we've made a little bit of changes. But we're going to interview Brady Bunch to see what's going on. Now, Brady Bunch, before we start, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Yeah. So, you know what? What I often like to say, being both serious and joking around at the same time, I am someone not like anyone most of the world has seen before. I think I'm a unique character. I'm a personality. And how do I put this? I am non-binary. So I'll start there. I'm one of those humans who was born a type of way. I knew ever since I was 4 years old. You don't have to believe me. We have the videotapes of me tantruming and throwing fits about it. But, you know, I always knew I was a little different. Things didn't really match up in my head to my heart and body and soul. And it was something that was a chronic issue for me. I won't go into it. We won't have to dive into politics too much. But I will say that I've gone through some life changes and I'm living my life for myself. As a result, I get a lot of love and a lot of hate. I actually, so for example, I use rolling pronouns. They, them, their are my preferred ones, being non-binary. I consider myself more of like a third gender these days. I know a lot of people act like that's something new, but guess what? Third genders have existed around the world forever. So, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm not exactly trying to fit into people's boxes, but at the same time, I want the box. How did I get into this? I'm sorry, I'm blabbering a little bit.
No, that's okay. I just, hold on one sec, Trap. I muted your mic for one sec just because I think it might be the air that was kind of cutting her out.
I heard that. So I was just, I'm good. I heard the plane in the background. No worries.
Okay. Go ahead, pretty much.
I also use, so what might confuse some people, I used to be a New York City high school teacher. My students knew I used rolling pronouns, but most of them called me she and her. They knew me as Summer. It was a first name school. But some people know me as Sean from a certain circle of my life. But truthfully, if you know me, I tell people to just call me Brady. And that's my last name. And that's sort of how I got the nickname Brady Bunch. which is also became my artist name. I make music. I'm a producer. I have a lot of trash music out there, right? that I've been talking about bringing down for quite some time. It actually started slightly as a joke, as a way to motivate some of my students in New York City. I challenged them to like a historical mixtape. I made some silly, horrible song. And next thing I know, certain kids that didn't really want to write an essay were handing in these beautiful, well-written rap songs talking about actual historical events. So I actually, how do I put this? I started an after-school program. At first, we were trying to teach kids how to make beats. I had this outside organization called Music Unites help out in the beginning. They gave me some money. I used some of my money out of my pocket. And I actually built like a studio in my classroom. Before I knew it, it was the biggest club in the school. And then I had five other high schools sending kids there. I'm happy to say, I'm a producer, and I'd say that's what I got better at first. But these kids actually started asking me to hop on some hip hop tracks. And they actually would come to my room at lunch and they'd be like, yo, you got to learn the rhythm. Yo, you got to work on your flow.
So you started rapping.
Yes. Yeah, so I started rapping.
Oh, wow.
And being non-binary, I would say that a lot of my rap, especially the unreleased stuff that I've performed, I went out to South by Southwest. I've been testing out like a lot of cool stuff. It's more of almost like a screamo rap these days. So like bang, 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 right? And when I'm on stage with the full makeup on, imagine when I first went to Texas, I did three shows. One of these places, like nobody knew me. I kept my mouth shut, full makeup. And let's say every rapper that was on stage was like hopping off stage, trying to talk to me, asking me if I was alone. And then I went on stage, out his voice.
That's hilarious.
Right, jaws drop. And, you know, half of the people hated me, half of the people loved me.
Right.
So I'd say my music turned into like an act of rebellion, the rap side. And then I actually have like the softer, femi EDM production. So what's funny is some people hate my rap, but they love my EDM. Some people hate my EDM, they love my rap. So in a way where I kind of don't fit into people's bubbles with the gender, I kind of don't fit into one box with the music. But therapeutically, Trap Daddy, I think you understand. I love the hip hop. It's therapeutic for me. I love getting on stage. I love performing. I don't even care if anyone likes my music.
I can totally relate to that.
Yes, right? And the
sometimes
irony.
Sometimes you just got to make the stuff that you want to hear and not the stuff that everybody else wants to hear.
Exactly. Because guess what? Here's the truth. What I realized working with a lot of these city kids who were very talented, they were busy making stuff that sounded just like the commercial stuff on the radio. How are you going to stand out that way? And also, do you really, is that really your art, right? I'm actually going to be releasing Celebrity Boxing. That's like a very aggressive song about fighting I think we're going to love. So that's coming soon. And real quick, just to explain.
Check that out.
Yeah, you know what? I'll send it to you. And you know what? Maybe Trap Daddy, we will train together one day and hop on the track. Who knows, right?
Hey, it's a small world, that's for sure. It's a small entertainment world too.
Yes.
It really is. Can I just say something? Like, it is really cool, like doing this podcast. And like you said, Brady Bunch, I really appreciate what you're saying because I feel like you and Trap do have similar things in your lives where you're talking about the motivation and overcoming obstacles and things like that. And everybody has their own obstacles, right? Yeah. I never thought as of yesterday that you two were going to be on the podcast together, right? But it is a good match. I feel like it's right. What you're saying hits home for so many reasons. I think we just talked on our last podcast about people that put out the same crap as everybody else. And my co-host was a guy that runs MMA Social Squad, an MMA page. And you just see a billion pages that just post the same garbage, not garbage, but it's just the same stuff. Like there's no creativity. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's easy work.
No offense, but like, I don't need 50 MMA pages telling me that Jose right. Aldo retired. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I got it in off comedy, the first we call one.
Those hacks.
yeah. But yet when it comes to music and or maybe not, but when it comes to music, when it comes to social media, when it comes to online, you can have all the hacks in the world. And for some reason they do gain value, which is so strange. So I appreciate what you're saying about like, yeah, you got to be yourself, you know?
Yes. And you know what? What I learned, so in different, there was a point in time where I did some vocal training. I was using a different voice, believe it or not, because society had me convinced I had to fit into a bubble to see it. But what I realized, I felt like I was acting. And when I made the decision to be like, yo, fuck it, I'm using this voice everywhere I go. Except when, here's the truth, I know I may be in danger and I have to whip out that other voice sometimes when I'm in alone in an area I'm not familiar with. I noticed that just like, especially teaching in the city, it was like so many people sort of reeled me and just like respected me more. So I'm all about like really just being myself. And I'm hoping I can motivate others to be themselves. And also, like I was saying, I get a lot of crap being myself, but guess what? I'm laughing at most of those people. And there was a point in time where I let that stuff get to me. But I know that like part of the reason I'm doing this fight thing, as silly as it sounds, I know there'll be some little kid that's different in some type of way that's going to see me in that ring, and it's going to change their life.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is this music, I'm not sure if you guys know DJ Drewski. He was on Love and Hip Hop. He's on Hot 97.
I think I do know who that is, yeah.
I'm a big fan of his, and imagine one day when I had some silly momentum going, because that's how the music game could work for indie artists sometimes. I was able to get interviewed by him. And I actually brought one of my talented young rappers with me, which was awesome as well, to get them like some attention. Nice. But while we were there, I talked about how Lil Nas X fans came for me when I shared something in my story once, right? They tried to like cancel me, right? When I was just like goofing around, right? So I went on this interview. He asked me about the Lil Nas X beef. And basically, like, I was joking around, challenging Lil Nas X to a celebrity boxing match. And before you know it...
Hey, I'd pay to watch it. Pay to watch it.
Now, the truth is, I don't think he would ever step in the ring. I wish he would, right? But we'll see if that happens, right? But this all opened this door where next thing I know, celebrity boxing is reaching out to me. And they're like, hey, would you want to fight? And the sad thing is this, in a way. So I think some people are mad because I'm fighting a cisgender man, someone who was born a man, still identifies that way. But I'm going to go into two quick stories tied to that. One is, I know that in many ways, depending on what state I'm in or whatever, I would have to box a man anyway based on the rules and the laws and all that. So in a way, I'm not an issue, right? Should we just be told not to fight, right? If it's something I really want to do. Another thing I'll say is, I'm sorry, I'm a little all over the place, the ADHD. I was supposed to originally fight another trans or non-binary opponent. And originally I was supposed to fight in June. It was going to be in Miami. And part of the problem was they kept finding the opponent that would back out. So before it got so close to the event. I was actually really excited. I hope no one gets me mad at sharing this. I was supposed to fight Sydney Starr, who was this black trans rapper from Love and Hip Hop. She was on Bad Girls Club. She's on some other reality show. And she was basically down, but something happened where we weren't able to make it happen. So the funny thing is, I know that Damon, CEO of the organization, he really wanted to create like an avenue for trans athletes. So he was all upset. He also knew I wanted to fight, and then I was so upset. So I got to the point where basically I let him know that being non-binary, I was willing to fight whoever would be willing to fight me. And I want to take on competition. I want to get better, right? I believe, and I think you guys will understand, the worst is when you hear of matchmakers putting two people in the ring that should never be fighting each other because it's unbalanced, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
people could get really hurt, right? In a way, I'm fighting at a disadvantage because I have medically transitioned where I don't have testosterone flowing through me, but I'm here for that challenge. And that's where I think someone like my opponent, Mike Mazza, I think I am going to get the win against him. I know he's embarrassed. A lot of people are ragging him. But to one step further, have you guys ever heard of, I may mispronounce it, Nung Rose from Thailand?
No, I can't say I have.
So this is one of my biggest motivators. And technically, there were two Nung Roses. I don't know if the other one took the name as like a tribute, right? But both of them were, I guess the term we would know as like a Thai ladyboy. And in a way, it's seen as like a third gender over there. I recently came across videos of the recent Nung Rose competing in professional kickboxing matches against men and destroying them, where like entire stadiums were chanting her name, right? And I remember watching that, and it just motivated me so much. So like part of my story is I've been training for the boxing out of a gym. I trained in martial arts when I was younger. But once I found these videos, I was like, yeah, I have to become a kickboxer. And feel free to cut me off, but I found a kickboxing gym. I called them up, and by pure chance, the guy on the phone, before I even like told him that I knew who this person was, I mentioned I was non-binary. I'm looking for a good gym. He was like, oh my God, you have to Google Nung Rose. I'm like one of her biggest fans, right? So imagine I found this amazing kickboxing gym with some like awesome talent. I'm going to zip it. But like, if it wasn't for the music, if it wasn't for leaving teaching recently, which we could talk about if you want, we don't have to, I wouldn't have been able to end up where I'm at. And I feel blessed because when I was younger, I was training in martial arts. Believe it or not, I went to Matt Serra's Jiu-Jitsu Academy when I was younger, when he first opened it. The guy was so chill, and I loved it. But I knew which direction I was heading in, and I didn't think there was a world for someone like me. When I was growing up, if you were a different person that happened to be trans, right, the images I got was from Jerry Springer, right? It was prostitutes, right? There was no, like, I remember when I was first changing, I was a teacher, people were like, you can never be a teacher. You're probably gonna have to go back to school to become a hairstylist, right? I was told by people, I'm a big Jets fan, unfortunately. I had some people tell me like, yo, you can't watch football anymore. And I remember just thinking like, yo, where do you people get this crap, right? Like, and so one more comparison I'll make is even cisgender, natural born women like Amanda, the lioness, right? I see comments on half the blogs, right? People are like, oh, it's Amanda, right? Like, even so much hate, right? My own mother.
The second grade joke.
Yes, my own mother, well, she's a Big Brother fan. Misha Tate was on Big Brother recently. My mom was clearly upset that Misha was doing so good. So while we were watching it together, my mom's like, oh, she made a comment like, oh, Misha kind of looks like a man. And I'm like, mom, right? Like, come on, I'm your kid, right? Like, she's an athletic, tough woman, right? A former champion, right? Like a part of me is doing this because I know, I think I can change the game. And I dream of one day, like, imagine, I know there's more of me in time, right? I'm hoping one day, if they're not going to let us fight in certain categories, that maybe they follow the lead of, like, I think it's the Boston Marathon is going to have a non-binary division in their next race, right? And that's what he's really doing. He's creating a lane, and I'm hoping all the other organizations will follow the lead. I love it. That guy, so, interview.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting though, and I want to go off on like so many things. The one thing I do want to, I mean, of all the things you said though, the one thing that I'm most mad at is that you're at a school where it's a first name basis. That does not fly with me. No first names. That's how my schooling was. But I would have got beaten, man. If right? I don't know, trap in the school you're at. But if I went to school and I dared say the first name of a teacher, bam!
Just even the principal, they'd be like, "Hey, Luke." Yeah. Right? Like, it was interesting.
No way.
So I have a question too, if I can butt in real quick. So you've been training officially for how many fights that fell through for you?
So you know what? It was the fight that was slotted was June, right? So it was like from March to June, we had probably throughout each month, maybe at least two people sat down at the table to sign the contract. And then backing out.
So you've been training for this for a minute now.
Yes, and that's where Damon, in a way, I'm grateful he's made it happen, because I would hit him up and I'd be like, Damon, I see some of these people fighting for you. They sign the contract, they make a post, and they're like, yeah, back in the gym. I'm like, Damon, I'm in the gym 6 days a week.
Yeah.
I'm trying, and here's the truth. I know I'm not where I need to be yet, but I know I'm living a lifestyle that – I think I could get to where I need to be, right?
I can totally relate to that. I'm in that same position right now myself. Eventually, if you just keep going, we're going to get there.
Yes, right? As long as we don't age out. And that's why I'm
right.
I know the clock's ticking. And that's why, like, I need to make this happen.
Yeah.
But one day I'm hoping there's like a Legends division or something like that, so we can just see old people fight old people. I'm down with that too.
You know what? I don't know if I'm bringing a topic up that I think we all might want to talk about, but like I think of someone like a Tony Ferguson.
Oh, and my goodness.
It's okay. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to segue into that because that was something I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to put a picture up here of Tony. This was DC, and he said Ferguson just doesn't seem to have it anymore, but he does not seem to have the self-awareness to understand it. He just doesn't really want to walk away from the game, and I get it, it's hard to walk away, but he just doesn't have it anymore. This is from I believe Sportskeeda. I got this quote. All right, I'm gonna just break away for 1 second on Tony Ferguson. Did you guys both watch the fight against Nate?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I watched it for sure.
So did you both hear where his corner was saying, stop turning your back, Tony, stop turning your back? Because he was like turning away. I'm watching that fight, and that was the first time I'd ever seen him perform like that. And it was worrisome to me that he seemed to be so out of it. And it might just be time. It might just be, you know, damage over time. But I was really worried for him. He didn't look good physically. He didn't look good. And there's a lot of debate going on right now whether he should retire and whether he must retire or whether he should continue. And so I'll turn it to you first, Trap. What do you think of Tony? You think he needs to continue or should he stop?
So here's my opinion about the turning his head away from the punches thing. I will say that Nate Diaz's style, man, that'll make anybody turn their back, because he's a pitter patter style. Like, he'll keep that leather in your face to where it's like, I can't even breathe and I can't turn away. And so I definitely understand that to a point, but man, Tony's been there for so long. You figure, he'd have counters for that. I don't know, man. The whole laying down in the middle of the cage instead of taking advantage of, you know, what he could actually do in there when Diaz was playing around with him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think he should retire, but like we were talking about a Legends division, that would be pretty dope, man. I don't know if he's quite ready for a Legends division yet, but he's getting there, man. And you see guys like Nate Diaz and, you know, taking breaks in the middle of the octagon and stuff like that.
Crazy.
Like, it's funny, but at the same time, we have to remember – that we're fighting for 5 minutes, three rounds. So that's 15 minutes of fighting. That's a really long time to fight. I like the old school days where they just went and, you know, they fought until somebody lost. It was like a 10-minute time limit and then go overtime and all that. I like that. But I don't know, man. I don't think Tony should retire. I think he should be matched up with people light Diaz and stuff like that more often right. than you know monsters like Justin Gaethje. And
well, I was seeing posts online that were saying, "Oh, I think it should be him versus Paddy." And I'm like, "This guy's gonna die. You can't. It's different levels at this point. He's on his way out. Paddy's on his way up. You don't need to feed these veterans to these young lions in an effort to kind of give them the clout or give them the smoke." Like, let these guys fight appropriate people at most, right? And that's if you even think that this guy should go back in there and potentially suffer, like, long-term damage. But Brady Bunch, what do you think?
So, I think, how did it put this? Part of me has to wonder if, like you mentioned, that's the first time you saw him acting that way, you were concerned. Part of me wonders, like, what was the cause? For all we know, maybe he wasn't feeling so hot. Maybe it was something that happened in training where his head was not there, right? Or here is the truth. He's getting older. TRT is a thing that's not allowed. He had that big weight cut. I think it was 2020 or 2021 for a canceled fight. He went down to 155. I think at one point he had like a 12-win streak, right? So like, we can't forget what he's capable of. I feel bad. I agree with both of you. It's all about the matchmaking. I would love to see a Classics League, a Legends League. Just like you see a lot of these boxers coming back and doing it, right? I almost feel like I would love to see, like, I know he had a heart attack, so I don't know if you feel but like before. Like, I remember...
Wait, who are you saying? Who are you talking about?
Randy Couture. Like, he was someone who, he was a world champ, and he was up there in age back then. I know things have changed. It was the TRT days, right? But, like, I almost wish, this might be controversial. My opinion is, maybe they could allow TRT for the older legends who are fighting each other, just regulate their blood levels, make sure they're not cheating, keep them from it, right? But, like, I'm sure if Tony was put on the right regimen, he would get back to more of that state than some of these other guys, right? Like, I look at people like a Ken Shamrock. I know he has a pro wrestling event coming up, but that guy recently had a post where...
Does
like,
he really?
Credit still. Yeah, he's on some random card, right? But he's still at it at his age, right?
Once the USADA is gone, I mean, what you guys are proposing is just some juice league where everyone just juices to the gills and just fights out their remaining days. Damn it! We'll all watch it, but for like, the health and safety of these people,
that would be amazing. Let's bring Mark Kerr back.
Yeah, it's gonna be a disaster. Okay, but let's go back, Brady Bunch. I do want to talk and Trap. You know, the importance of finding a good gym and good people to help you out to train for this. I'm so happy that you found a gym. But you're saying so. Okay, and one of my questions for you was going to be so. Okay, you're training for this celebrity boxing event, but this is not because you want to be a celebrity boxer, and I'm using air quotes. It's because you want to legitimately get into the fight game and you're using this as an avenue, as a stepping stone to then make it to the next thing, right?
Yes, without a doubt. It's almost like, I know you have interviewed in the past, Gita.
Yep.
The trans woman is out there getting into cage fights in MMA against cisgender men, right? And I know that Gita hasn't gotten enough attention, in my opinion, for going in there so fearlessly and just bringing it. And so I know someone like Agita probably would love to take on an opponent like myself when we're talking about like matchmakers and things like that. I also know there's a Brittany Vaughn. Brittany Vaughn is out of West Virginia. Brittany Vaughn's actually reached out to me and is the person who introduced me to Agita. I'm really grateful for that, right?
Nice.
But imagine I noticed a message from Brittany on some silly hyped up post I had for celebrity boxing. I looked at it. She tagged, I think, her coach and was like, I think I found my opponent. She's busy boxing men, training in kickboxing. She does MMA. I also know she Christina shared how they approached this with me. She, I hope she doesn't get mad. I know she has reached out to Alana McLaughlin, also known as Lady Ferrell. Alana is known as like the second trans MMA fighter.
Right, behind Fallon Fox.
Yep. I know Fallon was controversial because I believe Fallon wasn't open about their identity at first. So I know people like Joe Rogan got really upset. Yet someone like Joe Rogan fully supports Alana fighting cisgender women in MMA. He's explained his reasoning. He considers it, I guess, two warriors, if they agree, going into battle. Also, she's open about where she came from. I'm not going to get too much into politics, but what I do know is I know I'm pretty strong in the sense compared to the average female. And to tell you the truth, I know that Brittany has called out Alana, and it seems like Alana is busy saying things to Brittany like, you're not good enough yet, and claims they've watched Brittany's tapes and critiques it and all that.
Right, right.
I know that Alana is a former special forces soldier. I'm not going to negate how tough they are, but I think from my research that I've done, I don't know if they had any amateur fights before that pro fight. So I know that Gita, myself, and Brittany, we're all talking amongst each other about fighting each other.
Yeah.
Right? And all three of us would love to fight Alana. But I noticed Alana made a tweet like 4 or 5 days ago about how it seems like no one wants to fight anymore. I might have to start calling out bitches, right? I don't know if Alana will fight me. I don't know if Alana will fight these two. But guess what? The three of us want to make it happen.
And what you need is you need a fourth transgender fighter who's not Alana.
Have a tournament,
a one-night tournament.
That would be interesting,
right?
Could you imagine? I love that stuff because I know Invicta still runs one-night tournaments, which I love. Because then you just get to like see the same fighter, you get to hear a little bit of a story. It's good. It's fun for the night. But so you need a fourth transgender fighter.
You know what?
And you do a tournament, and then even the two losers could still fight one another as like a consolation. You know what I mean? So you still have that whole tournament bracket. It would be incredible. But I do want to say for those that are new to the podcast, because you're here, Brady Bunch, and you're bringing your people. We've had Gita Marie on the podcast twice, explaining her story, following her along. And she did reach out to me when she knew you were coming on the podcast and said, tell Brady Bunch, I want to fight. And she wants to fight. She's fighting on October 10th at WCFL. Sorry, Trap, every now and then I mute you because the air. But so she's fighting October 10th. Brady Bunch, you're fighting October 15th. I told Gita Marie to hop on a plane after her fight, get to your fight at your event, and cause a ruckus.
You know what? I love that.
I'm telling you.
That's funny. Goes,
right? She goes out there. She gets in your face. She starts causing drama. Maybe hop the ropes after you win and challenge you. You know what I mean? That's what you need. That's the kind of drama that needs to happen. So if celebrity boxing is watching this, go reach out to Gita Marie now and get her that plane ticket and tell her to get in there, get in the stands, and then have something there, build a hype, build a story.
See, this guy knows how to think. This guy knows how to market.
Yeah,
that's how you promote right there.
And I'm telling you. I know that the CEO of celebrity boxing, I think, would love that. Right?
Like, absolutely.
And out of all the people I mentioned, I actually, they all scare me a bit. That's the thing about, I saw Mike Tyson video, either egomaniacs or megalomaniacs, yet having poor self-esteem, right? So I say I go a little bit of both ways all the time, right? Sometimes I'm overly confident. Sometimes I'm like, yo, that chick scares me, right? But I think Gita is the most physically impressive. And I'm kind of for that challenge. And the fact that she's out there doing the MMA thing, multiple fights. Like, she has more fights than Alana right now.
Right.
And also, I believe naturally in size and weight, it would be easiest for the two of us to meet. Whereas I think I'll have to do a little more weight cutting to get down to fight the other two, but it's possible. But
what,
yeah.
What is the fight weight that you're fighting at for your on October 15th?
So believe it or not, this is, I think some people get shocked sometimes. I am weighing in at 165.
Okay.
So I used to, before training for this fight, so part of this story is I was probably closer to 150 in the beginning of this year, but I was on some crazy keto diet. Like, if anything, I was focused on being lean, lots of cardio, still being athletic. When the fight was announced, originally the opponents that were getting me were bigger and heavier than me. So I put on, I literally went and got meal prep programs. I literally bulked up. I went and got on the creatine. So I literally gained a lot of weight for this fight. And then it was canceled. Actually, I was like, you know what? I did not gain all this weight.
I put on all this weight for nothing.
Yeah. Yes, and that's where I went to Damon. I was like, Damon, I need to find someone. I got to call someone out around my weight.
That's rough.
Yeah. So, like, ideally, I'm at 165 right now. I know that Alana and Brittany fight at 145. I think Ida's around 150, if I'm not
mistaken. My wife actually fought boxing at, I think it was 165 or 160. And that was just because she was on short notice, and it was like 14 days or something like that. But yeah, that's and the girl she fought was like 5'10", 5'11". I'll have to send you pictures, but it was pretty wild.
That is pretty wild, right?
Some of those girls can get huge, man.
But the thing is, you're talking about your natural weight. Like, you're saying, Brady Bunch, that you're around 165 walking, not to cut to 165.
So I would say right now my natural weight is around 165. I've gotten it to that point.
Yeah. So then that makes sense. I mean, even if you find fighters that are fighting at 145, 155.
And how tall are you?
So that's a good question, because I went to a doctor and they measured me, and like, it was as if inches came off, right? They did the whole thing, right? But then there's a whole nother spin. I walked Fashion Week a few times. So I was with all these models like a week or two ago. And I asked them all, I'm like, how tall are you? Because I was like, their height. And they would all be like, oh, I'm like 5'10", I'm 5'9". But this doctor claims I'm 5'7.5". So I don't know, to tell you the truth. I need to find out soon, because I know I need to give them my info for the fight card.
Yeah.
So yeah, 5'8 to 5'10".
But so
yeah,
the
internet has me all over the place too. The internet has me in some places at like 5'10", some places at like 6 foot. But in reality, I'm 5'11", so I understand.
yeah, that's fine. It's a moving target. It's funny that you both say that, because one of the things that I always find funny, I'm going to put a picture up here of, again, someone that kind of relates to both of you, but Jake Paul. Yeah. And this is a post that he put up, and he said, in the beginning, they told me it was impossible for a YouTuber to become a real pro boxer, yet I did it. And yeah, you know, one of the things is these people, and even in the celebrity boxing, so like yourself, Brady Bunch, and like you, Trap Daddy, coming from like an influencer background, I find it annoying when people call him a YouTuber, because I'm like, well, wait a second, anybody can start to pick up martial arts and become a fighter, become a trainer.
Yeah.
At what point do you diminish your past professional job, right? Like, I mean, every boxer I'm sure worked at like a Walmart or something like that. You don't go, oh, that's a Walmart employee turned boxer. No, it's like, at some point I just train in it and I become. So it's for both of you as well, right? You're changing your lifestyle into that fighter lifestyle to become a fighter. And so Brady Bunch, I'm really excited to hear that you want to do this for real and that you're using this as a stepping stone. But something like what Jake Paul I just find funny is that, how is it that every opponent he wants to fight, they always match weight? Like, it's crazy that, I mean, whether he fights, you know, Ben Askren or Tyrone Woodley and now Anderson Silva, somehow they always just match in weight. Like, it's so magical that this never becomes a problem. Like, there's no, right. It never seems like there's a weight class that limits Jake Paul from fighting who he wants.
Yeah, he's the perfect size, man. He can fight like anybody. He can get up to heavyweight and he can get down to like light heavyweight. So he can fight middleweights if he wants to. Yeah, he's like the perfect size in between all that.
Yeah, it's great because he can just put on all these like these highlight shows with these great fights, and just he just magically makes the weight. So, anyways, it's funny,
right?
Brady Bunch, I wanted to ask, when so you've been training, how has it been in finding training partners and in being around the gym with who you are? Because I've asked, you know, and I'll go back to Gita Marie. I did ask Gita Marie about it as well. And I said, you know, is it hard to find a gym?
By the way, so thank you for correcting me.
Sorry?
Gita. I've been calling her Gita. So thank you, Gita.
I was all over the place too. But yeah, Gita Marie. So how has it been for you to be able to find training partners? Are, and I know you said the coach was accepting of you, but your training partners, your sparring partners, you seem like you're at a legit gym. You're fighting and training, running that life.
Yes.
Everything good for you there? You're not you know, you're not experiencing anything?
I hope get a little. So my experience has been, so technically I've trained out of 3 gyms since the fight was announced when it comes to the martial arts. One I stopped going to pretty quickly because I realized if anything, it was more, they were good for the cardio, but I wasn't learning much. Then there were 2 spots. I went to the boxing gym first, which has been an okay experience. I still pop in. But I would say that it wasn't exactly the same warm setting as the Muay Thai gym. So I'd say part of the problem early on for me was I just didn't feel like I was being taken serious. Because imagine the guy who ran that gym, ironically, it's a boxing gym, yet he was a kickboxing champ.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But at first, let's just say, everything he did was just like, oh, you need so much work. It was too much criticism without providing enough support. So I'm all about, like, give me the feedback. But I want to make sure you're doing all that you can to get me ready. So imagine I was going there for, like, weeks. And guess what? He only taught me 4 punches, right? And he'd be like, what's going on, right? And then he would call out, like, number 6 on the punch. And I would look at him. Right. And then he would yell at me if I asked questions. He would get mad, no questions. Right. So naturally, that's part of why I started looking for another gym. What I will say is this, I still go there. I think what happened, which was nice, was I learned it wasn't just me. I think he comes off that way a lot. In fact, he was honest with me. He'll have kids walk in and mom or dad will show up the next day and be like, you made my kid cry. And money back. Right. So I see both. Like, he's tough, yet he wasn't. I'm all about communication. So when I wasn't able to ask questions, also what he was doing early on, he was throwing me to spar with women that I was afraid of hurting. And that was a sign as well to me that he wasn't taking me serious enough. The plot twist is, I ended up disappearing for a little bit without telling him where I went. And I trained hard at the Muay Thai. Imagine I go back like a month later and suddenly he's like, holy crap, Brady. Like, wow. Right? Like, wow. Yeah, what happened? Right? And I didn't let him know. Right? He also was impressed with how quickly I got in shape. And then it was suddenly he was throwing me into sparring sessions with the men. Right?
Nice.
To the point where he recently said he wouldn't even put me against a woman because
but my question is more so than the coaches, though, the other people, just in who you are and right and your story. I mean, maybe people don't know your background or maybe they don't even know anything about who you are, but I'm just curious if you've ever suffered anything from your fellow trainees.
No, not really, to tell you the truth. I would say in the boxing gym, it was clear the pronouns weren't respected as much. It was clear, like, there, that was it. It was more so I had to go in knowing, like, I can't be so sensitive in this setting. I'm here to learn how to fight. I'm a warrior, whatever. But at the end of the day, what I've learned is most fighters, once they realize you're taking it serious, right? Once they realize, okay, I'm down to get punched in my face, right? That's where, like, the respect more came. So I would say I haven't had much of a poor experience. I will say I ran into this, I think, more so recently at the newer gym. I didn't reveal to all of them who I was, what I was doing. So what I would say is when I reveal to some of them, I had the celebrity boxing match coming up. At first, I think they got upset because to them, it's not. They're out there fighting in these smokers and real tournaments. Some of them are amateur champions with like 16 belts, right? So I think at first I caught a vibe like they were hating, right?
Is it because you're jumping the line almost?
Yes. Yeah.
Not putting in the hours, blah, blah, blah. Or that's how they'll see it. And then suddenly you're on the stage.
Yes. But then what I quickly saw was these same people, when they saw me showing up to spar, when they saw me asking for the feedback, they completely flipped the script. And if anything, what I love is suddenly it became, yo, we have to get you ready for this fight.
Nice.
So what I really love is, in the kickboxing gym, how should I put this? They have really gone above and beyond. What I like is they're not going easy on me. My coach who was coaching me actually just went to Thailand to train for like the next 2 months. So two other coaches have taken over. But what I really love is I would say these were probably the two most intimidating ones who will be like, no, like they're throwing me into these spar sessions.
Good.
They're telling people not to go easy on me. And that's what I love, because there's nothing better than being humbled in the sparring session, because it tells me what I need to do to get better.
Okay. And I'm super happy with this, because I do like when people find the right gym, when they find the right people around them to support them and stuff like that. And I hear you about the people getting upset because they feel you're jumping the line. But mind you, you have 900,000 followers on Instagram, something like that.
Yes.
I mean, that's insanity.
So, yeah.
So, that's why, right? Like, okay.
Yes, right. And that's true too. And here's the sad truth. I say this to a lot of people. I'm happy that I took some time to build my Instagram, because it has helped open doors in many different directions. And sadly, the world works that way. But what I will tell people is, if you could duplicate it in some type of way, why not use things to your advantage? So I feel blessed that, like, I mentioned Ken Shamrock, for example. Mm-hmm. I DM'd Ken Shamrock's Instagram this week to talk about possibly having Ken Shamrock show up at this event, right? And guess what? They responded right away, right? There's I have some features on some hip hop tracks that I haven't released yet, but I got them simply by DMing people.
Because of your following, because blue check mark? Do you have the blue check mark?
I have the blue check mark. I'm about to apply for it on Instagram because that TMZ helped me grow.
Yes, there you go. I have the
blue check mark on Facebook.
Okay.
So
I'm going to put the picture just briefly, because we've mentioned a few times, but here's just a picture of the TMZ article that mentioned you. So it's on there. If people want to search it out, search up Brady Bunch /TMZ and you'll find it. And then for those listening on audio, it's Brady Bunch, BRADBUNCH, just in case you can't find Brady Bunch. But I did want to say, you know, on our last podcast, and we're recording this a couple weeks out before this gets released, but the podcast is going to air before this one. We talked to Tough 30 competitor Helen Peralta, and on there, did you watch Tough 30? She was the badass, the one that got into a bit of trouble and stuff. Anyways, that's probably, I'm telling you, that podcast was incredible. So if you have not watched that, by the time this one comes out, it will be out. It is incredible. She just gives the FU to UFC, gives the FU to managers, gives the FU to BKFC. I mean, she's all over the place. She's great. It's a fantastic, fun time. But she did make mention about how important it was, you know, rightfully or wrongfully, that you have a large social media following, that you, you know, are out there, that they can promote you. Yes. And unfortunately, that's the business now.
Yes.
And again, rightfully or wrongfully, whether you have to be like a Conor McGregor or a Patty Pimblett or whatever, but putting yourself out there, a lot of these female fighters, and this is what we've debated on the podcast as well, you know, having OnlyFans and a lot of nudity
after winning.
flashing the crowd that you're winning, or the nudity, or the sexual innuendos, that kind of stuff. I don't know where everybody fits on that and whether that's right or wrong, but that's unfortunately kind of where we're at right now.
Yes.
Can I ask for you, has, obviously, and you're saying it, but the benefits of your social media following and stuff like that has really opened up the doors for you? No. What's that?
Without a doubt. It has opened it in every realm.
Yeah. And can I ask, any of the stuff you do risque?
So what's funny is not, I guess it depends who you would ask. So I know that like, I did this one photo shoot where like, you know, I'm showing a lot. I'm, you know, I do have a bust. I've got breasts, right? I've done some photo shoots at one point just to bring in some attention. And actually, make it laugh about this. A lot of my pull is actually in my Insta stories. So I've been offered influencer deals because somehow people have gotten some statistics, I guess, on my Insta stories. Mm-hmm. I remember probably going back like 2 years ago when I had some momentum with some of the music that I never released, but I would tease in my stories, right?
Yeah.
There was a point in time where I'll never forget. This is before we crossed paths in celebrity boxing. Black China watched my story and liked it. Tyga was watching my stories, right? Big name rappers. Like I saw all these blue checks, and that's where I was like, yo, I have to keep going with this, whatever it is I'm doing, right? And so I'm sorry, brain fart. Why was I bringing this up? So I've been offered like great deals through my Insta stories. I'm trying to think of where.
I'm just saying because like I'm looking at, no, because I'm just looking at your Instagram and there's not, it's, you can tell, like you can tell it's not crazy risque or anything like that, yeah. But it's just an ongoing story that we're talking about, especially on this podcast, because we're just like, ah, it's really interesting, you know, like where, how does someone. And then Helen was saying, you know, they're not promoting me. They're not promoting me because I don't do this, because I don't show myself in lingerie and blah, blah, blah. And it's tough. And then you feel bad for those people. And we've had other fighters like Janae Harding from Bellator, who does none of that at all. But, you know, we commend her because, hey, look, you're doing your thing and staying true to who you are. And you're going to succeed in that way, being who you are. And for the people that do it, hey, no problem. That's what you do. And if that's what you want to do, no problem. It's just an interesting kind of debate that's going on. You know, and can I ask one other thing? I apologize. Just give me one thing.
No problem.
The next two UFC main events are both women headlining.
Awesome.
So it's during, okay. So you say awesome, but there's a lot of backlash online.
I can see that.
People are mad about it. And it's like, I don't even know how I'm kind of going off on a tangent here to that, but you know, you get these women headliners for two main events in a row, and already the internet is abuzz going, this is crap and blah, blah, blah. It's a double-edged sword, right? And we're talking Mackenzie Dern, we're talking Alexa Grasso. These are not bad looking women by any stretch, but still.
You know what? I think, unfortunately, I hope no one gets offended, but the term like toxic masculinity or whatever, I think does exist in some people's hearts. So it does make me sad. Unfortunately, I think the UFC knows they need to sell tickets. So I'm really curious to see if one of these cards is changed over the next month.
But here's the thing though, when they say sell tickets, like that's the arena we're talking, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Literally, the UFC could bring in the weakest card on the planet to here in Toronto, where I am, and I guarantee you it's a sellout, because you only get one event every year to 2 years if you're not in Vegas.
That's true.
So the minute UFC touches down in your home, it's going to be a sellout. Like it does. That term is always curious to me when they're like, "Well, we'll see how the ticket sales do." I'm like, "Well, just come to Toronto and it'll be a sellout every time." Like I don't know what the problem is. We'll pay for it.
You know what? And I was reading an article that was discussing that, like the difference between pay-per-view sales and ticket sales. Yeah. So I guess, you know what? I'm going on a tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking about, I forget who it was, but there was a UFC fighter a few months back and I think he wore like Rainbow Pride UFC.
Yes, we talked about that, and he got a lot of flack for that.
Yes. Meanwhile, he's a straight man just showing support. And that's where it's like, that's what drives. So in a way, when you ask me about my account being risque, I won't say I'm so risque, but I do like shaking the boat. I like creating controversy. Yep. So I know, just like that guy got booed, just like people are complaining about these women, I know there's going to be some people that are just like, for example, what that Caitlyn Jenner story, Breitbart picked it up and wrote about it. Front page news. Just read the Breitbart comments about me, right? First of all, people think I really wanted to fight Caitlyn Jenner. It was more like a half-hearted thing. I guess if she wanted to fight me, I would, right?
Of course.
Right? But she's in her 70s. It's like a playful thing. I was creating the hype. But imagine if you read the comments, it's just pure hate. They actually hate me. People are threatening to kill me. The best part, too, is none of them actually looked into it. So they're like, oh, look at her stealing women's spaces in sports, right? And it's like, read the article, dummies. I think there's a problem. But here's the truth. I think the vast majority of people don't care. And like you said, the women you mentioned, they don't hurt your eyes, right? I hate to put it that way. But like, there's plenty of people that are going to be tuning in. And I remember when they first created the female division, all the hate, and I remember watching, I'm trying to remember who it was, maybe it was an early Misha Tate fight, where I was like, those girls beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, that was
awesome, right?
Yeah, it is, you know, it is funny because it goes both ways, because on part of it, sex sells, right? Yep. So what Helen Peralta is talking about is, hey, look, if I'm not out there doing this and that, and but yet what she's saying is when I do that, when you get a girl that sells like that, then the UFC will promote you and it's there. And obviously they're promoting because they know people will tune in. Yep. Yet when you put two main events in a row that are both women, people are up in arms like, ah. So it's so weird. It's such a conundrum that, you know, on the one hand, this is right. This, we know this is going to sell. And on the other hand, some people don't like it. So it goes both ways. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see as we get closer to the event, like you said, like how it's going to go and how it's going to sell. But I mean, I guess we'll see. We're running down on time. And for those that are listening on audio, or even if you're just watching, like, what the hell just happened to Trap? I don't know. I think he just got cut off. Maybe he lost power because I messaged him to say, hey, are you okay? But we assume he's fine. And we wish him the best. And thank you for coming. During this whole time, I didn't put the little ticker at the bottom because when it's three people, it doesn't look as good. But again, there's your link there to find you. This podcast has been great. It's going all over the place. I really appreciate getting to know you so well. Like I said before we started filming, I'm going to have you back on for sure, whether it's as a co-host or as a guest again. I think it would be great. Before we let you go, is there anything that you want to say to fans, friends, viewers, listeners, that you want to leave them with a message or something positive or not, whatever, tell them whatever.
You know what? I guess what I'll say is this. If there's anyone out there, right? I hope I can motivate at least one person listening out there or more. But chase your dreams, you know? Like, life is short. And if there's one thing I've learned, like, I won't go into it, but I got invited to a fashion show the other week and sat directly next to Cyndi Lauper, right? And it's just like, if I wasn't chasing these dreams that other people laughed at me about, that would have never happened. And I've got a thousand stories like that now. So just to anyone out there that's being hated on for being different or being hated on for having a passion and chasing it, tell those people to go fuck themselves, right? And like, focus on you, right? And also I'll say this, if you do want to get into the fight game, it's a lifestyle, right? So you better be ready to change your diet. You better be ready to change everything you do. And hopefully, I hope you guys could find a supportive gym that won't go easy on you and will get you ready for war. And lastly, I know this is big, but I hope I can manifest that Gita and I will fight. And I hope I can manifest that Gita, myself, Brittany, Alana, we'll all get to fight each other one day and change the world together. And that's basically it. So Alana, if you somehow hear this, I know I got a little ways to go, but I'm coming. And I know Gita's coming. And I know Brittany would like to come too. And lastly, I do think Brittany and I are going to have this kickboxing match. That's what we're talking about. It might be through this organization, Cage Line Fighting. I'm sorry. They have boxing. They got kickboxing. They got MMA. They got amateur. They got pro. And I think that's going to happen. And that itself will be historical because I don't think two trans humans have squared off in a kickboxing match like this before. So it would be awesome. So that's it. And I want to thank you. And I know I will be back. And we will.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been fun too.
No. Thank you so much. I do think that the Gita Marie coming to your event on October 15th, jumping the rails, jumping into the ring and causing some drama, that's all me. So when that happens, I demand a shout out somewhere in some sort of article saying, I know Fight Insight said to do that. So I need something like that.
And my last question too, where are you located? Like location wise?
Me? I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that a billion times. I'm sorry.
I'm in Toronto, Canada.
If there's some way you can make it to Atlantic City, I will get you tickets and all that. So let's keep in touch. I don't know if you'd want to be there, but thank you.
Yeah. No, definitely. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you. Like really, really a pleasure. I'm so glad that we had you on this podcast. This was a different podcast because it was really just you focused the whole time. We didn't get to too many of the topics that we kind of planned to, but I think the conversation was great. I do want to apologize for the some of the background noise that was coming out of traps. I was muting it here and there. So when we hear this, I apologize if that kind of disrupts a little bit, but I tried to mute them here and there so that it came out good. I think we got a lot of your message out. I think we got a lot of your story out. I really like it. I like what you're doing. Good luck on October 15th. I'm sure I'll talk with you before then, but good luck on October 15th. Kick some ass. Do not take it easy on this guy. You know, first round knockouts are by all means allowed. So just get it done, get the job done, kick some ass, and we will see you soon.
I promise right? I'm getting the win. Thank you.
All right. Don't leave just yet. I'm going to end the podcast. Guys, you're going to see some podcasts that you can click on now, some of these oldies and goodies, and have a good one and see you guys next.